point. So go ahead and take your books and mark them there if you're using your song books, because in just a few moments we'll be leading that song. And you know, is thy heart right with God is what we're talking about. How to keep your heart right, I guess, is the title of the lesson. But it could also apply, and you follow the principles that we're talking about this morning, and it will be how to get your heart right with God. These are some things that we can think about in order to examine our heart to see whether it is right with God. So hopefully the lesson will be beneficial to you this morning. Good to see everyone here. We do have several who are out sick and traveling, and we miss you when you're not here. But it is good to see everyone that is here. Thank you for visiting, those who are visiting from the neighborhood, those of you who are here with us. Maybe this is your first time. Please fill out a visitor's card, and we'd love to know a little bit more about you and hang around after services. We'd be glad to discuss anything with you that you have a question about. So anything we can do to help in your search for the Word of God and some understanding of it, we'd be glad to do that. Also, if you came in the front, you noticed the work that's being done. Sonny handed me a note to mention something about that. They're almost finished. There will be a railing that goes back up, so that won't be open as it is now, but they're almost done with it. They have some painting left to do, but otherwise it looks really good. I would like to encourage you to stay away from the trash bin out front. Don't let your children play around it. There could be some nails and things like that that could hurt them, so please stay away from that. We were hoping to get that removed before today, but it didn't happen. It'll be gone tomorrow. But please stay away from the trash bin and be careful if you're out there playing and having a good time, young people. All right. Turn with me, first of all, to the book of Psalms 119. Psalms 119. Go ahead and place a marker there, because we're going to be examining verses 9 through 16 in our study this morning. Psalms 119, verses 9 through 16. And the psalmist here is discussing on how we can keep our heart right. You know, Satan has identified our heart as his target. He wants, and by the way, when we talk about the Bible heart, what are we talking about? We're talking about the mind, the seat of our affections. We're talking about our intellectual and emotional functions combined. The heart. We need to realize that Satan is after our heart. He is trying to destroy us. And the way to do that is through our mind. He wants to deceive us. He wants to teach us and lead us to do things that are wrong, contrary to the Word of God. He wants to erode our moral and doctrinal beliefs. Satan is active and he's striving to do that. So in order to battle back, we must guard our heart. Satan has many weapons in his arsenal today. Television, music, the internet, education, associates, our friends, those that are around us, false teachers. He's using many different kinds of weapons to penetrate into our heart, to lead us astray. So we need to be aware of that, and we need to guard our hearts against his devices. Someone once said, "You are not what you think you are, but what you think you are." And Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7 says that. That's what the passage says. We need to realize that we are what we think. Whatsoever a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So we need to guard our heart. In Proverbs 4 and verse 23, which was read a few moments ago, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." So we must guard our hearts. In Psalms 119, in verses 9 through 16, David is actually presenting some principles that, if followed, will guarantee success in guarding our heart. Guaranteed success. Adam Clark, in his commentary, listed 15 principles here, but we're not going to mention 15. We've reduced them down to 8. 8 principles that, if you follow, If you apply these to your life, you will successfully guard your heart. The psalmist writes, "How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your youth." Or your mouth. Your mouth. "I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word." 8 principles that I'm going to mention in this text. First of all, verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. That's how. So let's begin with the principle of purification. Let's get our heart right with God. Let's purify it. Let's cleanse it. Now, this is an interesting statement. How can a young man cleanse his way? The word way comes from an interesting Hebrew term, which means rut. And the devil wants to get a rut in your heart. He wants to get you going the way that he wants you to go. And he wants you to travel that road enough where you create a rut in your mind. Now, how do you get out of that rut? Well, you have to turn to God's Word. You have to take heed to God's Word, and God will help you through His Word get you out of that rut. And God Himself will help create a rut in your mind. A good rut. Something that you want to get in. You know, sometimes in life it feels like we're in a rut, doesn't it? We just keep going down the same old path. And that's what the word means. You go down the same path till you wear a pathway clean. And God wants to cleanse our way for us through His Word so that we can walk in a way that is good for us instead of bad for us. So how can a young man cleanse his way? How can he prepare a way for himself that is clean, a way that is a good way? Well, by taking heed according to the Word of God. That's how. We need to take heed to God's Word. 1 John 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. We need to recognize that we need to be cleansed. We need to turn away from those sins and we need to confess those toward God. We need to turn away from that which is wrong. We need to seek the Word of God. In John 15 and verse 3, Jesus there says to His disciples, "You are clean through the words that I have spoken to you." We need to turn to God's Word. How much time do we spend following God's Word? I mean, really thinking about what God has said and then following it. Do we really strive to do that? We need to purify our souls through obeying the truth. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. We need to purify our souls by obeying the truth and then continue to walk in the way of the Lord. We need to take heed according to His Word. Do you long to be perfectly clean? Well, you can be. You can be right before God and you can walk in such a way that is good for you, but also in a way that will be habit-forming in a good way. We need to do that. So, principle number one, purify yourself by walking in God's way. Principle number two, I want to call it total determination. Look at verse 10. "With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments." With my whole heart, not half-hearted. What does Jesus say about the half-hearted or the halfway man in Matthew chapter 6? You can't serve both God and mammon. Our eye, He says, must be single. In other words, we must be focused on that which is good and right. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 22, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore the eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness." We must be focused. In verse 24, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve both God and mammon. We have to focus and we have to dedicate our whole heart to serving God. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 29, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29, Moses says this to the people of Israel, "But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find Him if you seek Him with all your heart and with all your soul." You will find Him if. That's conditional, isn't it? What if you're not seeking with your whole heart? Friend, we need to be seeking God with our whole heart. With my whole heart I have sought you. Are we giving it our all? In James chapter 4 and verse 8. James 4 and verse 8. James says something about the double-minded man. He says something about the one who is trying to hold on to the world with one hand and trying to hold on to God with the other. In chapter 1 and verse 8 as well, the double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So we need to be determined to serve God with our whole heart. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. If we are seeking God with the whole heart, that's going to be our desire. We're going to want to be right with God. We want to be pleasing to Him. And if we're going to cleanse our way, if we're going to be clean ourselves, if our heart is going to be clean, if we're going to have a clean thought life, we have to determine to do it. It's not just going to accidentally happen. It takes determination. And it takes our whole heart being put into it, or it's not going to happen. Our minds need to be clean and pure. Our heart needs to be guarded, so it's going to require determination. Wholehearted determination. You know the story about ermine, hunting ermine. They're in the northern part of the United States and in Canada and other parts of the world. Their coat is shiny white. And they used to trap them, their form of mink, they used to trap them so that they could sell their fur because it was very valuable. Well, one of the ways that you would hunt mink is that you would find their den and you would put messy stuff all around the hole of the den. And when the dogs would strike up the ermine would take off running towards its den, but they'd see that nasty stuff around the den and they wouldn't go in it. They did not want to defile their coat. So what they did was they turned and faced the dogs instead of getting their coat dirty. Well, that's the way we ought to be with our mind. We ought to give our whole heart to keeping our mind clean. And talking Wednesday night a little bit about this, you know, we need some of those things like at the airport, you know, you walk through the metal detector. We have to take your knife out. You have to take all your coinage out. You have to take anything that's metal off of you and walk through the metal detector. We need one of those things in our mind. Everything that's bad that starts to come through, it needs to go, eh, no, and we need to turn it away. But we need to be focused to do that, don't we? It takes total determination to keep those unclean thoughts out of our mind, that we may not wander from the path of God. Thirdly, fortification. Fortification. Verse 11, Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. We need to take the Word of God and we need to ingest it. We need to digest it. We need to continually feed upon it. We need to memorize Scripture. Yes, we need to do our daily Bible reading, but we need to work on memorizing Scripture. We need to think constantly about Scripture. We need to get it into our mind. We need to remember Scripture. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, we need to be like newborn babes and desire the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow thereby. We need to study the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. We need to be as the Bereans and search the Scriptures daily to see whether those things we are taught are so. We need to ingest, feed upon the Word of God constantly. Now, I'll tell you, my friend, if we have the Word of God hidden in our heart, we're constantly thinking about the Word of God, it's going to be a lot more difficult for us to sin. Because we have then the Word of God in our heart to use as weapons against Satan's attacks. Just like Jesus did in Matthew chapter 4. When Satan said to turn that stone into bread, what did Jesus do? He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What did Jesus do? He used Scripture. Well, we need the Scripture in our heart if we're going to be able to use Scripture in that way. We need to have the Scripture in our heart. We need to memorize Scripture. We need to take it in. Feed upon it constantly. Let me give you an example of what I'm trying to get across to you. In the book of Philippians chapter 4, in Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul here is writing about the way we are to think as Christians. He says in verse 8, finally, my brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Now here we have the Bible telling us how we ought to think. We need to hide that verse in our heart. We need to memorize that verse. We need to constantly apply that verse. We need to be thinking on these things. Now I'll tell you, if you think about these things all the time, what about that metal detector? What about that evil thought detector that we need to have in our mind? Well, here it is. We need to apply the Word of God constantly and think about the things that are true, that are noble, that are just, that are pure, that are lovely, that are good report, that are virtuous, that are praiseworthy. We need to meditate on those things. We need to fortify, therefore, our mind. In Ephesians chapter 6, there the Apostle Paul gives us a list of things we are to put on as armor, but that we may be able to stand in the power of His might. And he says in verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with what? Truth. I have hidden thy word in my heart that I may not sin against thee. The first thing that Paul says is that we are to gird our waist with truth. And then he goes on, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, that is, we apply that truth to our life. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith. By the way, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. With which you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, that is the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. So, we need to take the Word of God. We need to put it on. We need to put it in. We need to constantly think about the things of God's Word. We need to fortify ourselves with the Word of God. The fourth principle is the principle I call appreciation. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. Blessed are you, O Lord. What is David doing here? Blessed are you, O Lord. We need to recognize the wonderful blessings we have from God. And one of those blessings is His Word. And we need to thank Him for that. We need to be appreciative for that. I'll tell you, a person who does not properly appreciate God's Word, that does not properly appreciate what God has done for us by giving us His Word, is never going to be successful in living the life that God wants them to live. You cannot live in this world and be ungrateful to God and be successful living for Him. It's just not going to happen. Blessed are you, O Lord. This is an expression of gratitude and respect. If there is no gratitude, there can be no respect. Teach me your statutes. We need to be appreciative for the Word of God which has been given to us, and we need to make that alive in our hearts. We must value the Word of God, And we must desire to be led by such a good and loving God, recognizing that His way is what is best for us. His way is good for us. Do we properly appreciate God's Word? I'll ask you a question about that. How often do you study God's Word? How often do you open it and read it? Does that say anything at all about your appreciation for it or lack of it? How often do you attend Bible classes? What does that say about your appreciation for the Word of God? How often do you, after you hear a sermon, how often do you go home and you've taken notes during the lesson? You go home and you go back and you restudy that. Because the reality is I may mention a lot of passages during a lesson and I can't read all of them. We don't have time to go through all of them, but I give them to you so that you can go home and study them later. How many of you do that? How many of us spend our time reading and thinking about the Word of God and studying the Word of God? Well, I'll tell you right now, it's going to be in direct proportion to the appreciation that you have for it. So, if we purify our hearts by turning to the Word of God, apply total determination to seek God through His Word, we fortify our hearts by ingesting God's Word, and if we truly appreciate the Word of God, appreciate what God has done for us, and desire to be led by His statutes, well, we're on our way to keeping our heart right with God, aren't we? The next principle, the principle of verbalization. Look at verse 13. With my lips I have declared all your judgments of your mouth. With my lips. How many of us talk about the Word of God? How many of us talk about His will for us? How many of us talk to others about the truth? How many of us talk to our neighbors, talk to our friends, talk to our family members about the Word of God? How many of us discuss these things? Verbalization. Now, let me tell you another way that we verbalize the truth. We sing. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You're singing in your heart. Well, Paul's in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, he says it a little differently than he did in Colossians 3:16. But Ephesians 5:19, he says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, we are teaching one another, but we're also teaching whom? Ourselves. Speaking to yourself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So, verbalization by singing, by praying. Verbalize. This is important. You know, we may hear a lot about it. If you're trying to remember a passage of Scripture, say it out loud. Repeat it to yourself over and over again. Why is that? It helps. It helps you remember what you have read and studied. Read it out loud. Verbalization. With my lips I have declared all your judgments. Then we are able to take it and talk to others about it. When we have hidden it in our hearts, we appreciate it like we should. We're also going to share it if we appreciate it like we should, aren't we? We're going to verbalize the Word of God. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. Is that what we're doing? How to keep your heart right? Well, you need to purify it. You need to determine to seek out the truth. You need to fortify your heart. You need to appreciate what God has done for you in His Word. And you need to verbalize God's Word. The next point. The principle of evaluation. Proper evaluation. Notice what is said in verse 14. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. How did the psalmist value God's Word? As much as with all riches. He put it up there above everything else. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. It made him joyful to read, study, meditate upon God's Word, to think about God's testimonies. He was happy about that. And he valued it greatly. How valuable is the Word of God to us? Turn over with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews the 11th chapter, we studied Moses a few weeks ago. In verse 23, the text says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin." Now look at verse 26. This is why he made the choice that he made. Look at it. "Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward." We have to properly esteem the Word of God and the blessings of God, the things of God. We have to put the proper estimated value on that. And what is that value? Well, it's more important than anything else in this world. Our soul, the Lord says, is more valuable than anything in this world. If a man should gain the whole world and lose his own soul, what should he profit? Well, the way that you save your soul is through the Word of God. So thus, the Word of God is also extremely valuable. Purify your souls in obeying the truth. So, we must value the truth and put it above all else. The truth is valuable, very valuable. "Buy the truth and sell it not," the proverb writer says. So, we need to properly value the truth. Who would trade diamonds for plastic? Who would trade diamonds for plastic? Here you have a diamond ring in your hand. Would you go to Walmart and trade a $5,000 diamond ring for a fake? Would you do that? You know, a lot of people are doing that in religion, though. They're taking the Word of God and they're trading it away for the false doctrines of men. They're trading it away for the lies of Satan. We need to properly evaluate the Word of God. And we need to hold on to it. We need to buy the truth and sell it not. The principle of meditation. Verse 15. "I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways." I will meditate on your precepts. How many of us meditate on the Word of God? There are some things that are necessary for a meditation to take place. Number one, you need time. It takes time. You cannot meditate without time. Number two, you need quietness. You need quietness. And number three, you need concentration. You need to focus. So time, quietness, and concentration. Those are the three things that are essential for meditation. How many of us find the time and find the place and sit down and focus on the Word of God like we should? How many of us do that? Make the time and find the place and focus on the Word of God and just meditate on it. That word meditate is an interesting word. To illustrate it, we'll use a crude example of a cow and its chewing of its cud. The cow may browse around and feed and feed and feed and go over here and feed a little bit of this alfalfa grass and go over here and feed some of this, on this Bermuda grass and feed over here. And he goes and finally standing under the shade tree and he recalls, that alfalfa grass sure was good. So he calls it back up and he chews on it for a while. Kind of gross, isn't it? But the idea is that we constantly go back over it. We meditate on it. We chew it and chew it and chew it and chew it. We chew on the Word of God. Do we do that? Do we constantly think of the Word of God? In Psalms 119, this isn't the only place where this idea is mentioned. In Psalms 119 and verse 48, Psalms 119 and verse 48, "My hands also will lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes." Also, in verse 97, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day." Do we meditate upon the Word of God like we should? It's kind of like a song getting stuck in your head. You know, early in the morning you may be driving to work and this song you hear on the radio and it just gets stuck in your head. Well, that's the way the Word of God needs to be in our mind. It needs to get stuck in our head. We need to think about it. We need to take the time. We need to find a quiet place. We need to concentrate and meditate upon the Word of God. And finally, verse 16, "I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word." I'm going to call this the principle of application. I will delight myself in your statutes. Now, if you're applying the Word of God and you're doing it because, you know, you're begrudgingly just doing it because you feel like you have to, you don't want to go to hell, so you're going to do what God says. That's the wrong attitude. You need to have this attitude. "I delight myself in your statutes. So I'm going to apply what you tell me to my life." Is that your attitude? "I will delight myself in your statutes. I am going to enjoy doing what you tell me to do." And if we do that, I mean, if we apply the Word of God to our lives, if we have this attitude that we want to do what God tells us, then friend, we're going to be successful. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 10, the Apostle Peter there says, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, but to godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble." So add to your faith virtue, moral excellence. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. That is experiential knowledge. That's not just intellectual knowledge here. The Greek word is epignosis, which means a full, complete, experiential knowledge and understanding of something. So you have to get involved in order to have this kind of knowledge. And to knowledge self-control, you discipline yourself so that you follow what God says. And you stay away from the things that God forbids you to engage in. And perseverance, you stick to it. You have that stick-to-itiveness. You're going to do what God says. And continue to. And godliness, you have this attitude. This attitude of delight. "I delight myself in your statute." Here you have godliness, I think, exemplified. A person who delights himself in the statutes of God, that is a godly person. He wants to be pleasing to God. That's his desire. A person who has this desire will grow. He will develop the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 23 and 22 and 23. He will be what God wants him to be. Okay, purification, total determination, fortification, appreciation, verbalization, evaluation, meditation, and application. The psalmist mentions all of these principles in this text. Now again, I promise, I guarantee that if you do these things, you will succeed in keeping your heart right with God. But what if you don't? What if you don't purify your heart by seeking God and seeking out His Word and totally determined to seek Him out and follow His Word. And fortify your heart by ingesting, by taking the Word of God in, putting it into your heart, making it a part of your life, and appreciate God's Word, and verbalize God's Word, and truly value God's Word as great riches, and meditate upon it, constantly thinking about it, and applying it to your life. I tell you, if you follow these principles, you will succeed. No question about it. Proverbs 4 and verse 23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." You want to have a good and happy life? You do those things. Maybe you're here this morning. The question is your heart right with God right now? Is your heart right with God? If it's not, then you need to get it right by applying God's Word to your life, by doing what He tells you to do right now. You need to repent of your sins. You need to confess your faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And you need to be buried with Him in baptism by faith into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And then you need to be raised and then determined to walk in newness of life. Purify your heart by obeying the truth. And then serve the Lord with all of your heart. And do the things we talked about this morning, and you'll stay right with God. Maybe you're here and your heart isn't right with God. You're a Christian, but it's just not right. And you recognize that. Well, then you need to do whatever you need to do to get right. You need to confess your sins to God. If you've sinned publicly, you need to make those things known publicly, and you need to confess, and you need to repent, and get right with God. And to do the things we talked about this morning. Stay right with God, because at the end, you have heaven. If you keep your heart right with God, it's heaven. And that's what we all want. If you're here and you're subject to the Lord's invitation, why don't you come as we stand and sing.